Morning. Today's Daven Erevin Lamed Zayin. We are in Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We just went through the Mishnah and the first part of the Gemara, and we are going to be covering one topic over the course of today, and that's Breira, retroactive determination. The topic of Breira comes up a number of times throughout Shas, this being one of the primary places. The Gemara is going to be discussing Breira for a daf and a half, more, a little bit more. And so this is really a primary source in this particular topic. How do we get onto the topic of Breira? So it comes up based on the Mishnah. Mishnah over here describes the person making Erev Trum, which has been the topic of this parak here, third parak of Erevin. And so within Erev Trum, so a person now wants to move his Makom Shvisa. So as we've been discussing since the beginning of the parak, he's going to put it down in a location which is accessible. That is, by the way, a great summary of the first half of this parak. So he's going to put food down in a place which is accessible, and that'll create a new Makom Shvisa during the Beit HaShemeshos period. So now that food will help him acquire this new Makom Shvisa, and so now that creates a new point of center. From that new point of center, he can walk 2,000 amas in every direction. But let's say he's unsure as to whether or not he needs that extension. He needs to move his Makom Shvisa. So what the Mishnah says is that he can lay down his Erev on Erev Shabbos, and then Bein HaShemashos, it'll kick in, or maybe it will, maybe it won't. And then on Shabbos proper, what's going to happen is that he'll learn the information. And once he learns the information, so then, retroactive to Bein HaShemashos, the Erev either will be good or not good, depending on his needs. So this is how we got into the topic of Breira. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave two scenarios. One scenario in the Mishnah is where he's running away. Nachri is pursuing him, and he's running away from Nachri. It's not Sakhan Stafashos. If it were Sakhan Stafashos, you run as far as you need to go. But that's the first case of the Mishnah. Under those circumstances, he's setting up his Erev in order to run away. Or the second case of the Mishnah is that Talmud Chacham's coming. And so he's setting up his Erev so he can go hear the Talmud Chacham, and he needs that extension in terms of his Tchum Shabbos in order to arrive at the Chacham. Okay, those are the two cases of the Mishnah. The point is that you can set up your Erev in a manner in which you currently don't know whether or not you need it. You will later find out on Shabbos. And when you find out on Shabbos, Huvra Adavar L'Mafreya, retroactively, we'll go back to the time of Bein HaShemashos, that this Erev is going to be effective or ineffective, depending on your need. Good. That's the Mishnah. Yesterday, we just quickly went through the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, in that it's basically the same as our Mishnah, but in Rabbi Yitzchak's scenario, you're running towards the Nachri, you're running away from the Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says that's really strange. And yesterday the Gemara dealt with what would be scenarios in which you're running towards the Nachri, and what would be the scenario in which you're running away from a Talmud Chacham. Okay, and that's all that we covered yesterday. And so we're picking it up at the two dots where we left off yesterday with the words, Rav Yehuda Omer Im Hayu Echad Mehem. V'Rabbanan. Now, as far as the Shitas Rav Yehuda, so we saw it at the tail end of the Mishnah. If you just look up on the Amud, so you see at the end of the Mishnah, Shitas Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda says that if one of them happens to be your Rebbe, so then you're going to go to your Rebbe. Meaning the decision has been made for you. You don't need to decide under those circumstances. It's your Rebbe. Now, it seems like in the Mishnah, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara would like to try to give voice to that. Meaning, how could you disagree with that position? So the Gemara says, Zimnan denichalei b'charei tvemi rabbe. So, okay, and as far as the Chachamim are concerned, there are occasions where you heard your Rebbe and you heard him enough. In other words, you know what he's going to say, or, you want a little change of pace. So, fine, so instead of going to your Rebbe, you're going to go to a Talmud Chacham. Okay, a scholar in residence, if you will. In other words, right, your Rav, right, you heard him already. So you want to hear somebody new. Okay, I'm a Rav. Okay, we are now in the Gemara, and here we go with a lengthy discussion about the Shitas of the Tanaim as it relates to Breira. Amarav Leisa Lamasisa Midnat Ayo. So the Rav says, look, we're not holding like our Mishnah because of a Breisa, and the Breisa authored by the Tana Ayo. Okay, the Tana Ayo we see every now and then. It is an unusual name. Hard to say what it's sourced in, but anyway, he has a Breisa, and in this Breisa, so we are not going to subscribe to Breira. And so therefore, even though our Mishnah gives a full subscription to the principle of Breira, but the Breisa doesn't, and Rav says, we're going to favor the Breisa over that of the Mishnah. Later, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, why are you favoring a Breisa over a Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah is much more authoritative. Breisas are Bura, they're outside, they're part of Torah Shabbat Peh, but as far as being part of Torah Shabbat Peh, they exist more on the outside, and the Mishnah are, they quote-unquote, the insiders, if you will. So, okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question later on. But anyway, what's the Braisa? Braisa reads it like this. So, Dinia Yo taught the following Braisa. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ina Damas Nal Shnei Dvarim Keached, Ela Im Bachacham Lemizrach, Eruva Lemizrach, Vim Bachacham Lamarav, Eruvo Lamarav, Aval Lekan U Lekan Lof. So in the Braisa of Ayo, so you can't rely on Breira. If the Talmud Chacham is coming to the east, so fine, so the Erev should work towards the east. And if the Talmud Chacham is coming to the west, same thing. But what you can't do is you can't go and vacillate between the two. Look, I don't know which way is coming, so either to the east or to the west, and that you're not allowed to do. Now, as this Braisa presents itself, the Gemara immediately wonders what is going on in this Braisa. Internally, the Braisa is really difficult to understand. Maishan lakan lakan delo dein breira. So the Gemara says, look, to go in both directions or to lay out an Erev in both directions, so that's going to be reliant on breira. The Gemara says, that's fine. Lemizrach lamarav nami ein breira. Even if you're laying out an Erev in one direction, that really is a choice between either going east or staying put, or going west or staying put. So as much as putting out an Erev in both directions is Breira, so is putting out an Erev in one direction also going to be a function of Breira. And being that that's the case, this Braisa is really difficult to understand. So I'm Rav Yochanan Kvar Bachacham. So Rav Yochanan says no, that what's going on in this Braisa is where the Talmud Chacham came already. So, and Talmud Chacham came already, you are not learning this information on Shabbos. The information already occurred. Now, it's true that the news hasn't gone to you until Shabbos, which is why you're laying down the Eruv, but it's not hover adav lam afer, it's not retroactively determining. Meaning, in this case over here, the Talmud Chacham has actually arrived at a location, and this information you know, you just haven't yet heard it yet. Let me be clear. Meaning, the information is just simply not been disclosed to you, although it already occurred. So when the Erev is either kicking in or not kicking in, it's not based on new events that are occurring on Shabbos, but rather just a disclosure of information that's occurring on Shabbos. Fine, that's the case of the Braisa, but the Braisa is not going to be accepting of the principle of Breira. So what do we have over here? We have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa. Our Mishnah subscribes to Breira, clearly. The Braisa over here does not subscribe to Breira, although not super clear. But with Rav Yochanan's understanding, the Braisa does not subscribe to Breira. So Rav takes a really interesting position. We're going to reject the Mishnah in favor of the Braisa because the Braisa rejects Breira. Well, the Gemara says what? As we are now three lines from the bottom. Ad Rabba, Leisa Lidiado Lidiayo Mimas Nisan. So of the decisions to make, why don't we decide that we're going to go with the Mishnah and not with the Braisa because the Mishnah supports Breira. So, lo sagadacha. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why we're not going to do that. Because we know that Rav Yehuda is of the position that we do not subscribe to Breira. Meaning that we are going to basically pit Rav Yehuda against Rav Yehuda. And we're just not going to be able to tolerate the inconsistency. So therefore, our only conclusion is that Rav Yehuda does not hold the Breira, as we're going to see in just a moment. And so since we know that Rav Yehuda does not hold to the Breira, so then we look back at our Mishnah, and we're just simply going to have to reject the conclusion of the Mishnah. And by the way, Rav Yehuda was one of the Tanaim mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, Rav Yehuda, in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah presents it, is subscribing to Breira, but as we're going to see in just a moment, Rav Yehuda rejects the idea of Breira. So it's just too much turmoil, there's too much inconsistency. The best resolution would be is that the Braisa is right. That really we reject Breira, and Rav Yehuda is one of those who reject Breira, as we're going to see in just a moment. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is just simply not giving us an accepted viewpoint. Okay. Again, I understood that it is a strange conclusion, but the Gemara says that we have so much other evidence that this is the direction we're going to take it in. How do I know that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira? So it's based on the following Braisa. This Braisa comes up time and again throughout Shas. You could see, first of all, parts of this is a Mishnah. It's a Braisa. Parts of it is a Mishnah found in Masechta Demai. But aside from that, Baba Kama, Sukkah, I'm looking at the side of the Gemara. Baba Kama, Sukkah, Yuma, Mi'ila, Chulin, Gittin. So this case comes up time and again throughout Shas whenever Gemara discusses Breira. So this is one of the principal cases that come up in the Breira discussion. What is the case? Halokechami ben Akusim. So you bought wine from Akusi. First, we're going to read the Braisa, and then I'm going to explain all the details within the Braisa. So you bought wine from a kusi, and then as we turn to Lamzayin and Aleph, Omer Shnei Lugin Shani Asid Lafri Shari Hein Truma. And right now, for reasons which we're going to try to explain, So you're not taking off Trumas and Maisos. But what you're going to do is basically you're going to leave over at the end of the wine of Trumas and Maisos. So two lugin that which I'm going to separate, meaning I'm going to leave it over. I'm not going to finish the wine. So two lugin, meaning we're assuming it's 100 lugin in total, this wine. So two of the lugin, so that's going to be truma that I will separate. Harehin truma. Asara maisa rishon. Now, in the next 10, which I'm going to leave over, so that'll be maisa rishon. And then tisha maisa sheni. Now, assuming it's a maisa sheni year, so 9, also I'm going to leave over, so that's going to be maisa sheni. So approximately 21 lugin must be left over for trumas and maisos. Now, I say approximate because we'll see in just a moment. I'll show you in just a moment that it's not the numbers are not exact over here. Anyway, umechal v'shos miyad. And then what you can do is that you could be mechal. I'll explain what that means also in just a moment. V'shos miyad, and you're allowed to drink it right away. Divrei Reb Meir. This is Shitas Reb Meir. We have now in this brisa Reb Meir clearly subscribing to the idea of breira. But then on the other side of this, Rebbe Yehuda, v'Rebbe Yossi, v'Rebbe Shimon, Osrim. So three Tanaim who are not subscribing to Breira, they say you can't do this. You can't drink the wine and only leave the end of the wine unfinished and only retroactively then determine, hey, you know what, that which I left at the end, oh, that was my Truma, that was my Meiser Rishon, and that was my Meiser Sheni. Truma, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni has to be separated at the beginning. In order to leave over and say that's true Trumas and Maisos, the only way that could work is operating through the principle of Breira, by saying that that which is determined now retroactively goes back to the beginning. But you can only do that if you subscribe to Breira. In this Breisa, we have four Tanaim. On one side, Reb Meir subscribes to Breira, therefore allowing you to drink the wine in this manner. And then Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon do not allow you to drink the wine in this manner because they are not subscribing to Breira. Okay. So we have over here Rav Yehuda not subscribing to Breira, and that's what Rav says. Look, I now know that Rav does not subscribe. I'm sorry, that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. And then when I go back to the Mishnah, I'm going to have to favor the Breisa over the Mishnah because we have corroborating evidence that indicates that Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. Period. In this Breisa, so there are a lot of factors which I ran right over, and so let's go back just to clarify some points in the Breisa. You bought wine from Kusim. So first of all, let's establish the Kusim. Again, this is a topic that we go over numerous times throughout Shas. Kusim are a group of people that were imported into Eretz Yisrael. Right? It was not a voluntary immigration, but rather when Sanherib destroyed the northern kingdom, so he replaced them with a group of people from the land of Kusa, which is proximate to Bavel. And so now these people of Kusa who are now inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, so they saw that while living in Eretz Yisrael, so they were being consumed by lions. So they understood that it was because they were serving idolatry. And so they understood, it was explained to them. However that realization came about, so then they said, okay, I see how it works over here in Eretz Yisrael. So you have to worship this one God. You have to be monotheistic in Israel. Fine. And not only that, we're not only going to be monotheistic, but we'll accept the entirety of Yiddishkeit. And they converted. Conversion good or not good? So as we know, a historical controversy. The controversy takes place amongst the Tanaim, or early generation Tanaim, later Tanaim, right? The Kusim lived in Eretz Yisrael for the balance of Bais Rishon through the entirety of Bais Sheni, and they continue to live in Eretz Yisrael even after the destruction of Bais Sheni. Meaning Tanaim, Amoraim are all talking about the Kusim. So for hundreds of years, so they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and was their conversion good? And so for hundreds of years, this was a point of dispute. The terminology that's used in the Gemara to describe this is Geri Emes or Geri Arayos. Were they true converts or were they forced converts? Geri Arayos from the word Ari, which means that they only converted because of the lions that were attacking them when they were in Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, the Gemara in Chulin, if I could just close on this one chapter of today's daf, the Gemara in Chulin says that ultimately what the Amoraim discovered is that really they were closet idol worshippers, and so therefore the conclusion of the Gemara was, the conclusion of the Amoraim were, the Geri Arayos. Fine. And so therefore they're treated like non-Jews. Wine that would have been produced by a Kusi post-discovery would be wine which is prohibited. Okay. That is a very brief synopsis of the Kusim. And so over here, you're buying wine from a Kusi. So our first question, the first flag we got to raise is, what are you doing buying wine from a Kusi? Look at Rashi on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and Rashi writes, Halakeh Chaim Menakusim Kodim Shegazru Al Yenam Kedem Mefarsh B'Shchitas Chulin. Okay, so Rashi over here, in just a couple of words, explains that this is before the Gzeira. Okay, so that is point number one, is that the only reason why you are allowed to be buying from the Kusim is because at this point in time, it has not yet been determined. And whoever the author of the Braisa is, obviously is of the position that before the Gzeira, they were Geri Emes, or the good Gerim, the good converts. Okay, now, next. You're buying wine from the Kusim. They didn't separate Chumas and Maestros. They didn't separate Chumas and Maestros, so why not? So we're obviously assuming right now that they're Geri Emes, that the conversion is good conversion. And the Gemara in Chulin says that the mitzvahs that the Kusim choose to do, they're very good at. And typically, the ones that they choose to do are the ones that are written in the Torah. Like the Tzedukim, right? Not the same groups, but like the Tzedukim, who reject Torah Sheba'al Peh and accept Torah Shebichsav, by the Kusim, it's not that black and white. It's not just Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's more like they accept Torah Shebichsav, and they'll take on some Torah Sheba'al Peh, not all of it, and that which they choose to do, they do very well. But they pick and choose. Okay. That's probably an oversimplification of the attitude of the Kusim when it comes to mitzvos. And so they didn't take off Trumas and Maestros. Why didn't they take off Trumas and Maestros? Trumas and Maestros is a din d'oraisa. Hakasa b'Torah, it's written in the Torah. Why wouldn't they take off Trumas and Maestros? So Rashi over here doesn't explain. Rashi just simply says, same Rashi, just reading a couple more words. V'stam Kusim lama farshi Truma. Okay, so Rashi over there says that the Stam Kusi is not separating Truma. But here Rashi doesn't explain. Elsewhere, so Rashi says that the reason why they're not separating Truma is for the following. If they were eating it themselves, then of course they would be separating Truma because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says you have to be mafir Truma. The Torah says you have to take off Maaser Rishon. It's beferish. Of course they would do it. But if, let's say, for example, they're not eating it themselves, they're just simply harvesting and selling, so then they don't feel compelled to take off Trumas and Maestros. Why? Because even though there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Lifnei Velosite Mechshol, that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of someone else, and if you're selling produce to somebody else, you should make sure that Trumas and Maestros have been separated so that they are not violating Nisr. As far as the Kusim are concerned, they're not bothered so much by that pasuk of Lifnei Velosite Mechshol. Because consider, what does the pasuk actually mean? It means don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Kusim read that pasuk and they say, okay, I get it. So when we see a blind person, we're not going to put a stumbling block in front of that blind person. Oh, it refers also to not aiding and abetting somebody else violating an Isra in the Torah? That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, Lifnei Velosite Mechshol. That's it. So it wouldn't bother them one bit if they sold produce to a Jew and just simply said, yeah, whatever, Trumas Maestros, whatever. In other words, the Lifnei Iver is just simply not on their radar. Okay, so that is as far as why they haven't separated Trumas Maestros. And then finally, why don't you separate Trumas Maestros? Okay, right, you just purchased the produce from an Am Haaretz. It's wine that you purchased from an Am Haaretz. So we're talking now about drinking, right, approximately 80% of the bottle, and leaving over a little bit at the end, 20% at the end, for Trumas and Maestros. Why not just separate Trumas and Maestros and be done with it, and not have to rely on Breira? So I'm going back to the same Rashi. This Rashi, by the way, is chock full of information in this one short Rashi. And Rashi writes over here, Ve'ein lezeh kelim lahafrish tosochem Trumas and Maestros. So Rashi over here writes, the reason why you're not separating Trumas and Maestros is because currently you don't have a kli right now. Okay, a little bit difficult to imagine that right now you are just simply absent of all kelim. Maybe you're traveling. Whatever the case is, you don't have a kli right now. So can you drink it and then leave over about 20% at the end for Trumas and Maestros? That's Rashi over here. Elsewhere, because as we already pointed out, this sugya comes up multiple places throughout Shas. So elsewhere, Rashi describes the reason why you're not separating Trumas and Maestros is because we're on the cusp of Shabbos, meaning it's Shabbos is about to enter. And we just simply don't have the time to be mafrish Trumas and Maestros. Or we're during the Bein HaShemeshes period, where now to actively separate Trumas and Maestros would be an Isser. Well, it's Bein HaShemeshes, but it would be an Isser to do so at this point in time. Okay, that is another possible reason why you don't just simply actively separate Trumas and Maestros. Okay, two more points over here before we go on. In terms of our numbers, I do not want to spend too much time on this, but as far as the numbers are concerned, the first 2% go to the Kohen, that's Truma Gedola. Okay, that's easy. Meaning the Torah itself does not give an amount of how much to separate to the Kohanim. The Chachamim said, however, it should be a respectable amount. So the Chachamim gave a range in terms of how much a person should give. A 40th, a 50th, a 60th. 1/40th if you're generous. A 60th if you are less than generous. Less than average. And an average person gives 1/50th, which is 2%. Fine. So that's the Truma Gedola that's given to the Kohen. What is the next amount that's going to give? So the Braisa said, and 10 is going to be given as Maaser Rishon. Now, you could say one of two things. Either the Braisa is precise with the number 10, but that's a little bit difficult to understand because we know that what he's supposed to give to the Levi, so he's supposed to give 10%. Now, simple math over here. If 2 was already taken out and given to the Kohen, and you started with 100, so you have 98. So what's 10%? 10% is 9.8. So when the Braisa says 10, so we can understand this in one of two ways. One, and both, by the way, this idea over here is discussed in debate amongst the Rishonim. Tosos discusses it. So either the 10 mentioned over here is just simply lav dafka, it's just imprecise, meaning really it's 9.8. Or perhaps interesting, maybe 10 actually means 10. That you got to give 10 and give it to the Levi. Why? Because since the Torah does not give the exact amount of how much truma should be given, and even though the Chachamim legislated and said that you got to give 2%, but the truth of the matter is that you didn't have to give 2%. Now I say that knowing full well that once a Chachamim struck to give 2%, then you do have to give 2%. But min haTorah, however, chita achas poteres zakri. You could just give a kernel. And that would suffice, that would satisfy your Truma obligation. And so therefore, when it comes to the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rishon is really going off 100. 100 minus an iota, but it's really going off the 100. So you could explain that the 10 over here is Dafka. But the easier way to say it is that the 10 isn't precise. It's really 9.8. Okay. And then one other point to discuss over here. I know, it's a lot of information. And one more point to discuss over here is that when you get to that Maaser Sheni. So when you get to that Maaser Sheni, so there's a word in the Braisa that I just ran right over, and the word in the Braisa is Umechal. Umechal v'shosem yad. So what does that mean? So here you can take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Rashi on the top, Alam Zayin Amad Aleph. Second line down. Umechal Maaser Sheni shiyachol esakem yad. Below Afrasha. Lachar shekar alav shem. Yechalenu b'chol makom shehu al hama'os v'shosem yad. Maaser Sheni, you don't have to wait till the end. Maaser Sheni, you could take care of right away. You see, as opposed to Truma and Maaser Rishon, so there, again, like let's say like Rashi, you have no other clue to put it in. Okay, so there's nothing you could do about it. You cannot, you can't separate until you get to the end of the drink. But Maaser Sheni, you could take care of right away. Because when you're separating the Maaser Sheni, so you could take the Maaser Sheni, transfer the Kedusha onto money, as we've discussed time and again. So since the Kedusha itself is transferable, and since you could do that, you could take care of that right away, you should be taking care of it right away, and don't leave that to the end. Okay, so that is that's Rashi's understanding of Mechal. Not everyone's in agreement with Rashi's understanding. In fact, Tosos, right here on our daf, does not agree with Rashi's understanding. See Tosfos, Sir Tosos on the Amud, for another possible explanation of Mechal. Okay. Again, that was just a lot of inside information in the Braisa, just to understand the Braisa, but when all said and done, so you are drinking the wine that you bought from the Kusi, you are going to leave over wine at the end for your Trumas and Maestros, according to Shitas Rav Meir, who obviously subscribes to Breira. This only could work with a subscription to the principle of Breira. And then on the other side of that, you have Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who say that this is prohibited. They do not rely on the concept of Breira. They do not subscribe to the concept of Breira. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Braisa. And now, that is a sentence now that is finished. Since we see that Rabbi Huda does not subscribe to Braisa, since the Braisa of Ayo also does not subscribe to Braisa, so Rav says, okay, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to favor Ayo's version that we don't subscribe to Braisa, and we're going to reject the Mishnah, whoever the author of the Mishnah is, who does subscribe to Breira. Ula Amar. So now we continue in the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph for four lines from the top of the Amud. Last word in the line, Ula Amar, Leisa La'ayo Mimasisan. So Ula says, I'm going to go in the other direction. Meaning he disagrees with Rav. We're going to favor the Mishnah over that of the Braisa of Ayo. Now, Ula says, okay, now what about the Braisa that we just spent the last 20 plus minutes discussing, where there in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda is rejecting Breira. So Ula, Zuze Zuze Ketani. So when Ula learned the Braisa, this is how Ula learned the Braisa. He learns it. Now, in our Gemara, our Gersa is Zuze, or in another Gersa, it's Zuga. Comes out to be the same point, which is that in the Braisa, he shifts the comma over by one name. So, Divrei Rebbe Meir, Vi Rebbe Yehuda. So, in the Braisa, we have four Tanaim, and in the same order, meaning it's in the Braisa, Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon. But in the Braisa, the way we first presented it, it's Divrei Rebbe Meir, comma, and then Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, Osrim. It's one Tana against three Tanaim. What Ula does when he learns the Braisa is that he has it two against two. That's Zuga Zuga, or Zuza Zuza, meaning it's two versus two. Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda on one side, who subscribe to Breira, and then Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, Osrim, and then on the other side, you have Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, who Osir. Okay, so where does that leave us right now? So we have a Machlokis, Amarayim, and whether or not we should accept Breira or reject Breira. Rav rejects Breira based on the Brice of Ayo, and even though the Mishnah favors it, but Rav says we have too much supporting evidence that would suggest that we're rejecting Breira. On the other hand, Ula accepts Breira, and he accepts our Mishnah. What about the Braisa we just learned? The Braisa we just learned, he has a different Girsa. Rav Yehuda is not on the side of anti-Breira. Rav Yehuda is pro-Breira, and so therefore, he now corroborates our Mishnah with this Braisa. And what about the Braisa of Ayo? Ula says we're going to have to reject the Braisa of Ayo. Okay, Icon that takes us now to the first part of today's daf. A lengthy discussion in terms of whether or not we reject or accept Breira. Now, the Tanaim. For the remainder of today's daf, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to get a straight story regarding each of the Tanaim and what do they hold when it comes to Breira. V'savra Rav Yossi ein Breira. We have now in this Braisa that we just learned regarding the Kusi of the wine. Sorry, let me do that again better. The wine of the Kusi. So we know that Rav Yossi over there is on the anti-Breira side. He says that you cannot leave over 20% at the end and just simply call that your Trumas of Maestros, because that would require the principle of Breira. Rav Yossi rejects the principle of Breira. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why I'm confused, because I have a Mishnah. Mishnah over here, Vatanan Rav Yossi Omer. Mishnah in Kinim. Kinim, short Masechta, found at the end of Seder Kachim. In the Daf, we covered Kinim. So it starts off easy and then progressively, and I say this with pun intended, geometrically gets much harder. It's a difficult Masechta. It's a Masechta with only Mishnayos, but still, the end of it is a real challenge. But in the meantime, however, here's a Mishnah that we can, it's pretty straightforward. We can wrap our head around it. Rabbi Yosef Omer Sheinashim Shalachu Es Kineihem Be'eruv. So let's say you had two women, both of them requiring to bring a pair of birds. A woman, after having gone through childbirth, has to bring a pair of birds. One a chatas, the other an ola. Or a woman who has concluded her shivna kiyam, and now it's day eight. She has to bring a pair of birds. One's a chatas, one's an ola. Anyway, so you have two women over here, both requiring to bring birds. And they bring a collection of four birds. Oh, shenasan kinehem lekohen. Or they give the value of the birds over to kohen, meaning they give money to the kohen. So, Ezu Shiyirtze, Kohen Yakriv Ola, Le Ezu Shiyirtze, Yakriv Chatas. So, here in this Mishnah in Kinim, and this is Shitas Rabbi Yossi, meaning it opens up with the words Rabbi Yossi Omer. So, the Kohen can make the determination, and the Kohen can say, look, this one's going to be the Chatas, this one's going to be the Ola, and so that seemingly is predicated on Breira. Now, if that's true, we have now a problem, because we had Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa of the Kusi wine, where he rejects Breira. This Mishnah Kinim, it seems like he accepts Breira. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Hasam Kishehisnu. So Rava says, no, over there, a condition, it was stipulated. So Ihachim Alameimra. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then doesn't sound like we have much of a Chiddush. The Amar Rav Chista, I'm sorry, Malameimra, Kamash Malankid Rav Chista, the Amar Rav Chista, Ein Akinim is Parshos. So the Gemara says, no, it is coming to teach a Chiddush, and that notably of Rav Chista. And that is, when are we identifying the birds? Meaning, when it comes to birds being brought as a pair, one a chatas, one an ola, so they have to be determined. Which one's a chatas, which one's the ola? Rav Chista is about to teach us there are only two opportunities in time in which this determination can be made, either at the time of purchase or at the time when the Kohen actually is going to do the avoda with these birds. That's it. Any interval in between simply is not a time eligible to make this determination. That is the Chiddush of Rav Chisda, and the Gemara says that's all the Mishnah Kinnim is coming to teach us. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah Kinnim is not touching the topic of Breira at all. All he's doing is teaching us this halacha, which is articulated by Rav Chisda, but really that's the point of Rav Yossi in the Mishnah Kinnim. So, top of the Amud, Ela I b'lekichas balim, I ba'asiyas kohen. So, either at the time of purchase, meaning when the woman purchased the birds, if when they purchased it they said, this bird that I'm purchasing is my chatas, this bird that I'm purchasing is my ola, so then we can have, we have identified and labeled which one's the chatas, which one's the ola. If the woman, when she purchased the birds, did not make that identification at that point in time, then the birds remain unspecified to the time where the kohen does the avoda. And even if at one point in time, in this interval period, the woman decides that's the chatas, that's the ola, that is halachically insignificant. So that's the Chiddush of Rav Chisda. That is what Rav Yossi is teaching us with the Mishnah and Kinim. And so therefore, it is not weighing in at all on the topic of Breira. The Gemara says, okay, fine. The Akatis of Rav Yossi and Breira Vatanya, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to give you more to consider. Here's another Breisa. So Am Ha'arish Am Lechaver Kachli Aguda Achas Shol Yerek O Gluska Achas Einu Tzorech La'aser Divrei Rav Yossi V'Chachamim Omrin Tzorech La'aser. Okay, so here in this Breisa, the following situation. You're a chaver, you live right next door to an Amaritz. You and him are really, really good friends. Okay, a bit of an embellishment, doesn't have to be that exciting in a story. But anyway, okay, so, but fine, you like each other, you'll do favors for each other. So he knocks on your door and he sends you out and he says, look, I heard you're going to the store, I heard you're going to the market, you're getting some bread, you're getting some fruit, could you go ahead and buy me some as well? Okay. And let's say for the moment he's not laying out the money. You're putting up all the money. Okay, fine. You know him, you like him, you trust him. No problem at all. You go to the store and you buy. You buy for yourself and you buy for your neighbor who is an Am Ha'aretz. And then you come back. And now the question becomes the following: are you now required to be mafresh Shumas Maisus before you give it to the Am Ha'aretz? Now, you yourself purchased it from an Am Ha'aretz, which means there's this requirement of demai, where you have to separate Shumas Maisos. Now, obviously, for your own, right, for the bread and for the fruit that you bought for yourself, obviously, you're a chaver, you're going to separate Shumas Maisos. Do you have to do the same thing for the Am Ha'aretz as well? It really is going to be hinging on Breira. Why? So as Rashi explains over here, but I'm just going to paraphrase. So it hinges on Breira because there's two ways to look at your task, at your mission of buying fruit for your neighbor, for your Am Ha'aretz neighbor. So one way to look at it is that you're just an agent, meaning all you're really doing is you're buying on his behalf, but it never became yours. You're just simply serving as agency towards your neighbor. So it's really never fruit that was within your ownership. And so it really was the Am Ha'aretz from the point of purchase. And so therefore, you're not obligated to separate Shumas and Maestros. It'd certainly be nice, but you're not obligated. I take it back, by the way. I'm sorry. In my own head, I can even formulate an argument in terms of why you shouldn't be taking off Shumas and Maestros, because it's not yours, it's his. And you don't have that ability to make those kinds of executive decisions. Okay. Regardless, just keeping it simple. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that, no, you're an actual middleman, meaning it's almost like you're a distributor. So you purchase it, and now you in turn are now selling it to your neighbor. Now, granted that he asked you to do it, and granted that you know that he's going to pay you, but nevertheless, another way to look at it is that you are purchasing it, and you are reselling it to your neighbor. Now, all of this is going to be contingent on Breira. Meaning what Breira will say is the following, is that when you buy, right, you wanted to buy some fruit for yourself and some for your neighbor. So when you bought that pile of fruit and then turned around and gave it to a portion to your neighbor and you subscribed to Breira, so what does that say? What that says is that the part that you gave him is the part that was always intended for him. Meaning that can go all the way back to the time where you purchased it at the market. where now you purchase at the market for your neighbor, even though you bought a whole pile of it and you split it up at a later point in time. But Breira is allowed to say that that split that occurred now actually retroactively goes back to the point of the purchase at the market. That's if I subscribe to Breira. If that's true, so then what's my role? My role is simply agency. And therefore, I don't have to take up Trumas and Maisos. On the other hand, the other way to look at it is, no, if I don't subscribe to Breira, that means that I'm really a distributor. And now what I'm doing now is I'm selling him the produce right now. But because now I owned it, so that means that I have to take off Trumas and Maisos. It's demai, and I have to take off Trumas and Maisos. No produce can leave my possession without me first taking off Trumas and Maisos. Okay, so that's a mouthful, but that's the Breira. And according to Rav Yossi, in this Braisa, he says that you do not need to take off Trumas and Maisos. As we just got done explaining, so that clearly means that he subscribes to Breira. On the other hand, the Chachamim say Tzarech La'asir, and the Chachamim say, no, you have to take off Trumas and Maisos, which means that according to the Chachamim, you do not subscribe to Breira. Okay, so in this Braisa, what do we have? We have Rav Yossi, who's being pro-Breira. And meanwhile, on the whole question started because on the Kusi wine, he holds that we are anti-Breira. That's a problem. So the Gemara says, Epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, this Breira that we just learned together, we're going to flip it around, and we're going to have Rav Yossi now on the other side. Okay, flip around the Breira. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, how about the following? Another Breira. Ha'omer Meiser Sheishli Bebesi, Mechulal Al-Sela She'taleb Yadi Minakis. So, I have Meiser Sheini. It's in my house, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to transfer it onto money, but not one coin that I'm holding right now, but I have an assortment of coins in my house. Whichever coin I later pick up, that will be the one that will be transferred, the Kedusha Meiser Sheini will be transferred onto. Now, there's a whole bunch of coins in the house. He picks up one of the coins, but only at a later point in time. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Michulal. So Rabbi Yossi says, good. The consecration, the deconsecration has worked. The transfer was effective. And that sheet is Rav Yossi, even though I do not pick up the coin until a later point in time. But when I do pick up the coin at a later point in time, hovra hadavar lemafreya, retroactively, that we can bring it back to now this point in time, and we could say that it was this coin all along that was destined to be the coin of transfer. Okay, so we see over here that he subscribes to Breira. So the Gemara says, epoch. So, Ema, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Chilel. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what we'll do with this Braisa? We'll say that according to Rabbi Yossi, he was not Mechula because he's not subscribing to Breira. So, if you've been keeping score right now, we have just quoted two Braisas in a row where Rabbi Yossi was pro Breira, and both times what we did is that because we were so determined, we were so insistent that Rabbi Yossi was anti Breira, so we flipped around two Braisas. The Gemara says, okay. Now, if you're keeping score, so you have one Braisa where Rav Yossi is anti-Breira, that's the Kusi wine Braisa. Now we just encountered two Braisas. The Mishnah Kinim, by the way, doesn't count. The Mishnah Kinim, we already explained, that wasn't even Breira discussion at all. That was just a Chiddush of Rav Chista in terms of when identification of Chatas and Ola take place by a bird. So that you can put totally aside. But meanwhile, we just quoted two Braisas over here that say that according to Rav Yossi, we do not subscribe to Breira. And what we have right now is 2 versus 1. And the conclusion, of course, is weird. Meaning, so we took the two Braisas and we flipped them around so that they conform with the one Braisa. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Umay chaz is da'apachta tarte mikame chada, epochada mikame tarte. I don't get it. Why flipping around two to keep the integrity of one? Why not flip the one to keep the integrity of two? It seems from the Gemara, by the way, if I could just parenthetically note, that it seems like it's a pretty straightforward numbers game, meaning maybe that one Braisa about the Kusi is a more authoritative Braisa. The Gemara does not argue that. The Gemara is assigning an equal value to each of the Braisas. Okay, anyway. So havade ibcha tanya. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. That last Braisa that we just quoted about the person who was transferring his Meister Sheni Kedusha onto money that he will select at a later point in time, I know that Braisa has already been corrupted. The Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. Titani Sefer, because I'm now going to be quoting the end of that Braisa regarding Meister Sheni. Umod Rav Yosef Be'omer, Meister Sheshi B'soch B'si Yehi Mechulal Al-Selech HaDasha She'ta'aleh B'yadi Menakish She'chilal. So in the end of the Braisa, Rav Yossi will agree, where the person says that the miser that I have in my house that is going to be mechulal on a new coin that I'm going to pick out from the purse. So that it's going to be mechulal there, it's going to be a transfer. It will be deconsecrated. Now, we're not totally sure yet what's happening at the end of the Braisa, but here's what we know for sure. Rav Yossi says here in this case, so it'll be deconsecrated. So what did that tell you about the first case? It clearly told you that in the first case, he says, Eino mechulal. The Gemara says, Midikamar hacha shechilal, mechlal da'asam lo chilal. So, okay, so it's clear then that in that Braisa, Rav Yossi, it was in the first case saying it's Eino mechulal, only in the second case it's going to be mechulal. Why? Because it's a new coin. Okay, so we see that the Braisa was corrupted. It now affords us the opportunity to edit that Braisa. That Braisa now has Rav Yossi on the anti-Brera team, on the anti-Brera side. So now I have the Braisa regarding Meiser Sheni. I have the Braisa regarding the Kusi wine. So that's two holding that holds that Rav Yossi is anti-Brera. And so now the one Braisa, which we quoted over here above, where the where you were purchasing the Demai for your neighbor Amaret, so there we're just going to flip around that Braisa. Okay, so far so good. Where does that bring us to? We're wrapping up this last Braisa, where in the contrasting case of this Braisa, if it's a new coin, so Rav Yossi says, okay, great, that works. So, Hai Sela Chadash Echidam Idika Tarte, Tarte Tlas, Diyesh Bera, Hainu Kamaisa. Well, I don't understand. It's a new coin, that's great. If there are two of them or three of them in the wallet, in the purse. So then, it's the same case as the Reisha, meaning, and I'm saying that the Meiser Sheni should be Mechulal on the one that I pick out, and there's two in there, three in there, so that really comes back to Brera. So what did you gain over there? So the Gemara says, Ela Deleka Ela Chada. So the Gemara says, okay, so there was only one coin in there. So the reason why in this case it's not Brera is because there's only one coin over there. And then I'm just wondering out loud, if there's only one coin in there, then what's the Chiddush? Meaning that now all I'm saying is that the Kedushas Meiser Sheni that's in the fruit, I'm transferring onto that one coin in the purse. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. I'm unsure. But anyway, so my Tala, so I did the Tani Reisha Tala, Tani Seifa Nami Tala. So the Gemara says, okay, the word Tala would indicate that there's more than one coin in there, and that's a little bit strange because we just established that in the second half of the Braisa, there's only one coin in there. And the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa is just working for purposes of symmetry, using the word Tala both in the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, Tala, because there's actually more than one coin. In the Seifa, just for parallel purposes, we're keeping the word Tala in there. Adkan. Okay. Where do we stand right now? We have just ironed out the Shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi does not hold the Brera. We know that based on the Braisa regarding the Kusi wine. We know that based on the Braisa we just learned together in terms of transferring the Meiser Sheni Kedusha onto a coin, and there's an assortment of coins, and I say on a coin that I will pick in the future. So now in the edited version of the Braisa, Rav Yossi says that doesn't work because he doesn't hold the Brera. And the one Braisa where Rav Yossi does hold the Brera, so we ended up editing that Braisa. Okay, so Rav Yossi does not hold the Braisa, and there we have it. Where do we stand right now? Shitas Rav Meir holds the Braisa. Shitas Rav Yehuda is we're stuck between Amarayim. Rav is of the position that Rav Yehuda does not hold the Brera. And Ula is of the position that Rav Yehuda does hold the Brera. Shitas Rav Yossi, we just got done concluding, does not hold the Brera. Okay. And the Gemara continues. Amarle Revel Rav Nachman Mantana Haida Filip de Rabban Lesle Brera. So is there a Tana out there who says that even by Din de Rabbanan there's no Brera? So the Gemara says, yeah, the Tanya. Amar lechamisha, reini ma'ariv al eze mikem she'erze. So ratzisi yelech lo ratzisi yole lo yelech. Ratzami ba'o yom eruva eruv mishachashecha in eruvo eruv. Okay, so first he introduces him to a brisa, and in the brisa, so we are talking about the predetermination of an eruv based on the principle of brera. Right, he turns to five people and he says to them, look, I'm going to allow for this Erev to work on somebody that I will select at a later point in time. So if he does it, me ba'od yom, if the decision is made before Shabbos, so then the Erev is good. And if it's Mishech Hashecha, so then the Eruv is not going to be good. Okay, so I just take it back a little bit of what I said moments earlier. In other words, this Braisa is not subscribing to Breira, because it only works, this Eruv only works, if the decision is made before Shabbos. But if the decision is made after Bein Hashmashos, so now the only way the decision is going to work is through the principle of Breira. And the author of this Braisa, whoever he may be, the author of the Braisa is of the position that we don't subscribe to Breira. And what is of interest and of note, and this is exactly the point that Rava says to Rav Nachman, is that we're talking about an Erev Tchum. We're talking about a Din D'Rabbanan. Like, in other words, I can imagine, I can envision that we could be more makel by Din D'Rabbanan, and meanwhile, the author of the Braisa is not subscribing to Breira, even though it is it's a Din D'Rabbanan. Ishtik v'lamer le v'lamidi. So the Gemara says, okay, so he says, I don't know. I don't know who rejects Breira on a D'Rabbanan level. So he says, okay, what do you mean you don't know? Meaning, let's go back to the beginning of today's daf. In the very beginning of today's daf, we were introduced to a Braisa, the Braisa of Ayo, who rejects Breira on Erev Tchum. Okay, so why don't we say that? So Lo Shmi Alei, so the Gemara says, he just simply didn't know of that Braisa. Either didn't know about it, didn't hold of it. Okay, so in other words, that wasn't an option. Rav Yosef Amar Tanai Shekalta Mi'ama Tanaihi. Rav Yosef says, look, we have Braises out there. And it is a machlokis tanaim. Detanya, we learned in a brisa, Arini ma'ariv l'shabaso shel kol hashana. So let's say he lays down the food and he says, look, here's my food for my erev tchum, right? It's like he's putting down the down payment, but it's more than a down payment. So he's putting down the food and he basically says, look, every erev Shabbos, so I'll decide whether or not I need to move my makom shvisa or not. So Ratzisi, Eilech lo Ratzisi, lo Eilech. If I go, if I make a decision to go, then fine, and if not, I won't go. Ratzimi bo yom eruv eruv. Now, when was the decision made? So if it was made bo yom, so then that's great. Then it works. But Mishecha Shecha, but if it's after it was Bein Hashmashos, so then Rabbi Shimon Omer, eruv eruv, v'chacham emorim, ein eruv o eruv. So here, machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says the Erev is good, and the Chachamim say it's no good. V'hashamina le Rabbi Shimon delesle breira. So now, Rabbi Shimon, going back to the Amud Aleph of today, was anti-breira. Over here, in this brace, Rabbi Shimon says that the Erev is good, relying on breira on the Din D'Rabbanan. So Kasha de Rabbi Shimon, de Rabbi Shimon. Ela epoch. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is that this Braisa we just learned together, we're going to have to flip around the Braisa. So my kasha doma ki leislei le Rabbi Shimon brei Rabbi deraisa, ava b'derabanan islei. The Gemara says, I am so not following. Why is this a question? Meaning maybe that when Rabbi Shimon rejects Breira, he rejects Breira and a Din D'Raisa. Over here we're talking about a Din D'Rabbanan. Could be that he's makel by Din D'Rabbanan. Now as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, so Kasav Rav Yosef, Mandi Islei Breira, Lo Shnam B'D'Raisa, Lo Shnam B'D'Rabbanan Islei. Umanda Leislei Breira, Lo Shnam B'D'Raisa, Lo Shnam B'D'Rabbanan Leislei. And what Rav Yosef is subscribing to is that it is all or nothing. Breira is either a concept that you subscribe to or you do not subscribe to it. So either it works both rabbinically and min haTorah, or it does not work bichlal. And so therefore, this idea that Rabbi Shimon is allowing Breira in the case of Erev and on the Amud Aleph, rejecting Breira by the Kusti wine, so he says, so Rabbi Yosef can't tolerate that inconsistency, and therefore flips around the Braisa so that Rabbi Yosef consistently rejects Breira. Okay, this is the point we're going to pause. We'll leave ourselves off with Rava. And we'll start with Rava tomorrow morning. But let's use this opportunity to recap. We are with one topic over the course of this morning. That's the topic of Breira. This idea that a decision can be made later on. And what we're going to say is that the decision that's made later on retroactively can apply even to an earlier point in time. An earlier point in time that was halachically significant. The example that we're discussing is within the context of making an Erev Tchum. Making an Erev Tchum predicated on an event that will only occur on Shabbos. But when the event occurs on Shabbos, now we could say retroactively that during the Bein HaShemashos period, which is the time that you're kone the Erev, it's at that point in time it takes an effect. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, that works. Because our Mishnah subscribes to Breira. And so now, just as a quick recap of this morning, First of all, the machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says that even if your Rebbe is coming from one side, you don't necessarily have to choose your Rebbe. You could choose somebody else. And Rav Yehuda says because people sometimes want to hear something fresh. Okay. Where are we in terms of the starting point of today? The Brice of Ayo. The Brice of Ayo rejects Breira. And so Rav's conclusion is that we're going to opt with the Ayo's Brisa over that of our Mishnah. Meaning Rav's conclusion is we're rejecting Breira. Gemara says, what a funny conclusion. I'm accepting a Brisa over that of a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yeah, we are because of the Brisa of the wine of the Kusi. The Yain Shel Kusi, Alokech Yain Min Bein HaKusim. A Brisa that comes up, I'll say every time, right? I didn't fact check myself, but every time the Gemara talks about Breira, this Brisa comes up. And so when purchasing the wine from a Kusi, so the Brisa describes how you're going to drink 80% of the wine, approximately. You're going to leave 20% over at the end. That 20% over you leave over the end, that is your Truma Gedola, your Maaser Rishon, your Maaser Sheni, all Huvra or Hadavah L'Mafreya, all retroactively determined. Is that good or is that not good? Machlokus in the Brisa between, according to the first way it was presented, Rav Meir saying it works, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon all saying it does not work. Okay, so we have in this Brisa Rabbi Yehuda clearly on the side of being anti-Breira. Okay, and that led Rav to the conclusion that clearly we're going to have to go with the Brisa of Ayo over that of our Mishnah. On the other hand, we saw, as we now are in Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Shitas Ula. Ula says, no, we are going to subscribe to our Mishnah in favor of the Brisa. As far as Shitas Rav Yehuda is concerned, slide the comma over. Meaning in the Brisa of the Halokech Yain Mibein HaKusim, so it is Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda who say that it's good, accepting Breira, and then Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon saying, we do not accept Breira. Okay. And then from that point going forward, analysis. First analysis of Shitas Rav Yossi. Is Rav Yossi pro-Breira, anti-Breira? Conclusion, he's anti-Breira. He does not subscribe to Breira. We went through a number of Brisas. Some of them had been flipped. At first, we thought that there were two Brisas where he was in favor, one Brisa where he was against. The Gemara concluded that actually there are two Brisas where he's against. One Brisa which is in favor, and so therefore we're going to conclude that Rav Yossi is opposed to Breira. And then the Gemara wants to know, this was a discussion between Rav and Rav Nachman, so is there a Tana who does not hold a Breira even on a Din Derabanan? Meaning there is a Brisa like that, the Brisa where he says he's going to set up an Erev Tchum on behalf of one of five people. The decision only works if he decides before Shabbos, but not after, not during Shabbos, because this Brisa is rejecting Breira even on a Din D'Rabbanan. Who subscribes to that? So Rav Yosef's response is, it's a Machlokas Tanaim. And we saw a Rav Yosef's Brisa, where a person lays down his Erev Tchum, and he says, look, it will be week to week, TBD, to be determined each and every week. But the Brisa says, but it only works if you make the decision before Shabbos starts, before Benesh Mashos. Actually, in this Brisa, it's a Machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says that if you make the decision on Shabbos itself, meaning after nightfall, so Rabbi Shimon says it works, and the Chachamim says it does not work. So, where does that leave Rabbi Shimon? So we're a little bit confused in Rabbi Shimon, because on the Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shimon was one of the Tanaim who does not subscribe to Breira. And here, when it comes to Tchum, he does subscribe to Breira. So what you see over here is that Rabbi Shimon, by Daraisa, subscribes to Breira. So I'm sorry, does not subscribe to Breira. By Darabani, he does subscribe to Breira. And the Gemara says, and so we have a Tana who rejects on a Daraisa, but accepts on a Darabanan. And Rav Yossi says, no, I'm not buying that. Rav Yossi says you have to flip around that Brisa. Why? Because either you subscribe to Breira or you do not. And whether it's Daraisa Derabanan is not it's not a significant variable in this discussion. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop here.